You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your host here, Colt Molesky, and I promised last week we would be bringing tons of content throughout the All-Star break, even though the Timberwolves were off. We are not, so we'll have shows tomorrow and on Wednesday, really digging into some mid-season grade kind of stuff like that. But first, today, with David Naylor on the line, we're going to talk about the All-Star game and the All-Star break, all the events that happened over the weekend. I really enjoy the All-Star game and the dunk contest. Where do you stand on these two before we jump in here, David? Where do you stand traditionally on the events that happened throughout the All-Star break weekend?
So I'm a big fan of the three-point contest myself, and I think that it's now is a wonderful time for it. And I think, like, this year, like, all the events kind of happened, and none of them were particularly outstanding other than the All-Star game itself, which I thought was very good. But, like, the dunk contest, there were some good dunks, but everybody still got Zach LaVine and Aaron Gordon in their heads 2 years ago. And, like, the three-point contest, sure, we saw the most points ever scored, but, like, there wasn't a perfect outing. There wasn't anything like that. So it's just one of those, like, they were good. They were serviceable, but it wasn't, like, an all-time. Like, Saturday night wasn't an all-time night, right?
No. That said, I did really like the dunk contest. I thought, I don't think it was by any means the best one ever, but first of all, I have a little bit of a weakness. I have always watched the dunk contest since I was a little kid, so I'm a little bit of a sap for those. But I also like that there was some different kind of dunks, but there was also the throwback to the OGs. You have Nance Jr. putting on his dad's old Phoenix uniform and doing his dunk, and you got the Vince Carter dunk with the Vince Carter jersey on Donovan Mitchell. I like that the young guys were trying to bring their own flair. Dennis Smith Jr., that 360 from one hand to the other under the leg dunk was insane. But
DSJ had the best dunk of the. He had the best dunk of the night. I think that's pretty clear to everybody.
Yeah, and there was
single dunk.
There, that one was by far the best. But there was also a really nice kind of throwback tribute feel to the dunk contest, despite there being so many young guys in this one. Larry Nance Jr. is in his third season, and DSJ and Donovan Mitchell are both rookies. And then Victor Oladipo with the Black Panther mask on was pretty funny too. If he had been able to crush that dunk on the first one.
Oh, yeah.
That would have been awesome. But, yeah, I just enjoy the dunk contest. Never been really a big three-point shooting guy or contest guy. I did watch it, and it almost looked like Clay and Eric Gordon were just kind of so-so about being there at all.
Have you seen Clay Thompson ever look excited?
That's fair.
Ever? Like,
Eric Gordon, I kind of expect him to get more excited about it, though.
Yeah, and that's fair, but it's like, if you see any pictures or video of Klay Thompson as a human being ever, I don't think I've ever seen him look what I'd call excited about anything.
That's 100%
true. That I don't
think
was particularly out of character. And I will say, like, Nance's dunk, the throwback to his dad, was probably my favorite, like, moments of that Saturday night, mm-hmm. just because, like, it's really cool how almost exactly he copied that dunk. And that's just one of those things that it's like, we're running out of, like, new things they can do in the dunk contest. So I kind of like that this year went kind of a throwback route while we can get creative for next year.
Yeah, exactly, and I like that aspect of it. My favorite moment was definitely the Dennis Smith Jr. dunk, but that's just because I have been hyping him up as Rookie of the Year since the draft. So that's my guy. I'm still going to ride with him, even though I doubt he wins Rookie of the Year. I'm still going to ride with him.
Simmons and Mitchell guys are pretty good.
Yeah, I know that. I'm not blinded to the fact that those guys probably will be the ones running away with it, but he's still my guy, so I'm going to support him, and that was my favorite moment of the night. Devin Booker, definitely not a – if you just look at who won these events without looking at any of the stats, definitely not a surprise he won the three-point shooting contest just with the way he plays. Did you even watch the skills competition?
I like the skills competition.
You like the skills competition. Okay. See, we're very different in our kind of support throughout the Saturday, so this is good.
Well, and I thought it's, like, obviously the last couple of years it's been really fun to watch Towns be in it, like, just because, like, I love watching the bigs do the skills contest just because you realize just how good these guys really, really are at basketball, right? Like, dudes like Andre Drummond, you wouldn't expect to have that good of a time in the skills competition, but, like, this is the first year in, I think, 4 that a guard's actually won the skills competition.
No, yeah, that was the big headline I saw a bunch of places write about coming out of the Saturday night was the point guards take back the skills competition. It's just kind of funny that those are the headlines.
Well, because it's been like Boogie won it, I think, 3 years ago. Cat won it 2 years ago. Porzingis won it last year. The bigs have, like, dominated this kind of thing that you'd think is traditionally guard-focused. And I just, like, I think it's interesting. I like watching, like, the complete set of skills. And obviously, like, I think you could tweak it to have a little bit more depth to it, maybe. But, like, I think it's cool to watch kind of the complete package of guys and give some different guys a chance to shine. Because obviously, like, there are some dudes like Andre Drummond who are never going to do three-point competition.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah.
And two, like, there are guys who maybe don't feel the best about dunking. But, like, thinking about the Timberwolves roster, I'd love to see Tyus Jones do the skills competition at some point.
I just enjoyed that Joel Embiid knew the rules better than anybody else.
I called Embiid to win it. I'm ticked he didn't. Like, that, he was my pick. Because he just does stuff, man. Like,
I was impressed with Markkanen as well. Just how far
Markkanen is a good player. That's one of those things that's going to keep getting talked about is Markkanen being an actually good NBA player.
You know how
going to stop coming up for the Timberwolves.
You know how you write like predictions or you have your mock draft that you write for whatever place. And then years later, you kind of look back and you see your biggest pitfall and your biggest mistake as far as overestimating. I think my biggest kind of underestimating player is Markkanen, and the player I maybe overestimated the most is probably Malik Monk at this point right now.
Well, and you're not the only one on Markkanen. A lot of people had questions about him going into the draft. I remember when the Timberwolves were set up to draft him, which they obviously were, like, that was the guy they were going to get at 7 for forever.
Yeah.
A lot of people were like, he'll be fine, but, like, he's not, like, a game changer. So, like, I feel good about where he's been, and it's good that he's kind of been reversing expectations.
No, yeah, and he's a fun player to watch. I kind of like the under the radar battle between him and Porzingis as well when they play each other. I think it's fun. We're gonna take a quick break.
It'll be good to see Laurie end of this week.
No, yeah, absolutely. We're gonna take a quick break for some sponsors before we dive back into All-Star Break conversation. So I just want to touch on this just quickly because she has been run over the coals enough. But the entire beginning of the All-Star game, the intro with Kevin Hart and then and the pregame stuff right down to the anthem, that was all really weird. Like, it felt like LA was trying to overstate that the All-Star game was in LA, right?
So I was out at an establishment for the beginning of the All-Star game last night, and I'm somewhat glad that I didn't have sound on from the what I've read about the events at the beginning of the All-Star game. The anthem was what it was. I thought the Canadian anthem was probably very good. Bare Naked Ladies are great.
The Canadian anthem was pretty good.
So, like, I'll put that there since that's, like, the only part of the pregame that isn't getting roundly panned. And Kevin, like, at this point, don't we all know what to expect from Kevin Hart when we hear Kevin Hart's going to do something? Like,
it was just
because Kevin Hart kind of is what he is.
Yeah,
he's a little bit awkward. He's a short guy. He's going to crack the jokes. He's going to crack, and they're not going to be very good. But
well, and some of them too.
You get what you're going to get.
It was just weird that they tried to do like an off-Broadway mixed with a comedy special deal as like their music and jokes thing. And then when he's introducing every player and he has like the little weird tidbit or joke that he does with each player, like a bunch of them just came off as really awkward, and there's like three really funny ones, but most of them did not land well, and it was just a very awkward experience.
Yep.
I don't know. I did love NBA Twitter during the national anthem, though. That was fantastic, especially when you had guys like Draymond and Stephen Curry making faces and laughing, and that, oh man, the roasting that Fergie got.
If there's a thing that NBA Twitter is very, very good at, it's just roasting when things go wrong.
Exactly.
Like,
especially
NBA
things that have
Twitter
nothing to do with
so
basketball.
Good at roasting people.
It was phenomenal. Side note, because we're talking about Warriors, did you see the pregame picture of the four Warriors at the All-Star game? And it's like,
Draymond Speaking of Clay Green, Thompson, that's what I was saying.
Exactly.
Right? Like, this is just who he is, and he just embraces it, and I love it. Like,
for those of you who haven't seen it, go and look it up. It's Draymond, Curry, and Durant, and they're all kind of staying close together, and they're smiling, and you can all tell there's a group, and then off to one side, like, 2 feet away from everybody else is Klay Thompson, and he's not even leaning the right. He's leaning away from everybody else and standing apart from all the other guys in the picture. It's super awkward. It's definitely like the photo that you pull out when you say, you know, that look that somebody has when he doesn't know what to do with his hands. This is the picture. It's a great picture.
Well, I've been there though, right? Like, you don't have pockets in those shorts.
We all have.
Like, we've all been there. It's just one of those awkward things. Take it from the shoulders up. Like, come on.
Fantastic. But yeah, it was an awkward start. Another thing that really bothered me, could we stop with the announcers talking about how there was no defense last year? Like, who gives a rat's ass about defense in the All-Star game? Like, really? Really, this is what we're going to hammer away for three quarters, is there was no defense? I get it. 192 to 182 is a lot of points, but I would rather see way more points scored than to not see LeBron James put up a dunk clinic or something like that. And there was some more defense. They were closing out. It looked like there was a little more half-court offense actually being attempted in this one. But who really cares? I just want to see the elitist of the elite athletes do crazy fun things, like the bounce pass that LeBron James had to Anthony Davis, or the pass from Westbrook to LeBron James for the dunk, or Kyrie Irving doing the flip hand left deal where he fakes to go behind the back and then flips it back. I just want to see that stuff because it's the All-Star game. It's exhibition. I just want to see the greatest players do crazy great things.
Okay, I will offer a counterpoint.
All right.
What is the moment that everyone walked away from the All-Star game last night talking about? It was LeBron and KD shutting down Steph at the end of the game.
Yeah, probably.
That is the single moment that I've seen the most talk about from this All-Star game, was just how impossible it is when you get trapped on the sideline by LeBron James and Kevin Durant. What do you even do?
Well, a screen before that happened would have been nice to start with.
Would have been nice, but it's like, this is just an impossible situation that you only can ever see in the All-Star game, in theory.
That's true.
But, like, because that was some of the commentary I saw, is like, yeah, the first three quarters are what they saw, and I, like, the commentary is going to be what it was. You have Chris Webber and
Reggie Miller.
What do you expect? Like, really? I did not have high expectations for the commentary, I'll put it that way.
That's fair.
But, like, the fourth quarter was, we saw, like, legitimate effort. It was a close game. And, like, I thought that the quality of basketball played and the things that happened looked better because it looked like there was actual defense being played at the end of the game. Like, you're going to have that in NBA game sometimes, man. You and I have watched enough Timberwolves this year to know that. Like, sometimes they don't try a defense with the first three quarters. Like,
here's the other thing.
The thing is, this looked like a real NBA game at points.
Here's the other thing I could make off your point, is that whether both games last year, so I'll just pull these two All-Star games out of all of the All-Star games that have happened. Last year and this year, obviously a little more defense than this year's. Both are enjoyable for the reason that you highlighted, maybe even more than defense, is that we saw Kevin Durant and LeBron James play on the same team. Like, it's going to be fun because I want to see Westbrook and LeBron James play together, or I want to see Kyle Lowry and Joel Embiid space the floor together. Like, that stuff is just fun because those are all-time players right now, the best players in the game right now.
I want to see Kevin Durant and Steph Curry play on the same – oh, wait.
I knew you were going to take it there too and just ruin this entire conversation.
It's too easy.
I know.
Right?
Like, it's low hanging fruit, David, and you're better than that.
I am not better than that, not even a little bit. Like,
I'm just saying I'm going to enjoy the All-Star game regardless because these phenomenal players are playing on the same team, whether it's defense
totally
or
agree.
Offense.
And then, like, the LeBron bounce pass that you mentioned was one of that. What that made me laugh out loud just because I've never even thought about doing that before, and it was perfect. Like,
no, yeah, it was. And I don't know. I really enjoy watching the All-Star game. It was just what were your top like two moments out of the game? Like, the bounce pass is probably one.
The bounce pass is definitely one of them, just because like there aren't very many moments that just make me like, yeah, they can all dunk, yeah, they can all shoot threes, like these things we know they can do. We've seen them do in regular games, but like that like bounce pass like that, because it was a smart play that worked perfectly to eliminate the defender from the play that you've never seen before. Like, that was awesome.
It was,
and then, like,
very reminiscent of the Bad Boy Pistons, because Isaiah Thomas used to do that on that team.
But, man, like, I haven't even thought about a play like that in a long time.
Exactly.
And then I think my other play was seeing not necessarily how good some of the moments were, but the combined shooting numbers between James Harden and Steph Curry last night. 5 for 24 from three.
Yeah, oh my gosh. Curry took forever to hit anything.
Just chucking. Like, and I love it because it's exactly who they are, so it was a perfect representation of them. But boy, they just could not hit anything last night. It amused me greatly. Whereas there were only two players in the game who recorded double-double. Cool.
And I know who one of those that you want to highlight.
And one certain Minnesota Timberwolves representative.
he played so well. Towns played so well last night. Speaking of Towns, that was one of my other favorite moments, was Beal calling the travel on Towns in the corner. It was pretty funny. But I loved watching Towns. He was the first player on his team to get into double digits as well with 11.
Because he went on a run as soon as he came in the game where he was just hit a three, got some stuff inside, got going, like got to 11 points in a hurry. I think I saw at one point he had the double-double in like 12 minutes on the floor. He was just out there like getting rebounds, doing what he does kind of every night, and he was good, and it was awesome.
He just looked like he was having fun. Is it sad that over the last like 2 weeks of Timberwolves basketball, he's not been able to – I think he averaged like 10.5 shots, and he had like 11 it was in the All-Star game.
At the same time, like there were 124 shots.
That's fair.
In the All-Star game. So there's a few more to go around, and I feel like the pace might have been a little bit higher than a typical Timberwolves. But I understand and see your point.
I just would like to see him. I also liked like he was jacking up threes without any fear. Just like do that in a regular game. Just don't worry about shooting threes and missing them.
Well, okay. And the threes that he took were the ones I liked him taking. Right, like the one that he hit was that typical like trailing top of the
right at the top of the key,
wide open. Like he doesn't get those opportunities enough, and I think that teams have adjusted to guarding him for those. Which is one of the things, like, I noticed that in particular in the Lakers game on Thursday night, which I was at, that Julius Randle was hard closing out on him at the perimeter, so he just didn't get open shots there. And teams that have guys that can do that and can plan for that, they're doing a lot better job of not giving him that, like, free trailing three that, like, guys like him and Cousins and Davis like to get if they trail behind a play after a rebound.
That's true as well. We're going to take one more break for sponsors, but then I wanted to get to some Jimmy Butler controversy. Jimmy Butler did not play a single minute, even though he was at the All-Star game on the bench. It looked like that he would be playing after he played in a few games following his knee injury, delicate situation with the knee, and then he did not play a minute, and Lou Williams was calling him out for taking up a roster spot without playing any minutes on the floor. Were you surprised by this?
Surprised that he didn't play at all? Yes. Surprised that he didn't play much? Not really. just kind of based on the vibe that's been around him and All-Star, it's like, it's cool to be there, it's a cool honor, but, like, the All-Star games never really felt like a Jimmy Butler kind of situation, mm-hmm. just his personality, right? Like, he'd rather go be practicing, he'd rather be going to put work in. Like, that's always been his thing, that's always been his grind. And
It's almost a little like Russell Westbrook, where Russell Westbrook really cares and really wants to win in that game, but Jimmy Butler just is like that, but to the extent where he doesn't even really want to participate in it too much, just so he doesn't get injured and he feels like he'll be doing better things.
Those were the comments that came out after the game, right? It's like D'Antoni said that, like, he practiced with the team yesterday, but his legs kind of didn't feel right, he said. And, like, it's one of those things that sometimes your body says that it needs some rest. And that's, like, it's a commentary on the Timberwolves' first three quarters of the season. But it's also a commentary on, like, Jimmy's going to take care of himself first, because, as he said after the game, he cares more about the end of the Timberwolves season. Which, hell yeah. Like, good.
That's definitely awesome.
Yeah, like, that's the entire thing. It's, like, I get the questions about, like, him thinking of a roster spot if he's not going to play. Totally fair. He didn't, like, decide that he wasn't going to play last week. He wasn't feeling up to it, so he didn't. Like, these things happen in every NBA game. It kind of sucks when it's All-Star.
Yeah.
It happens.
Like, I'm just glad he didn't risk anything.
Agreed.
Obviously, there's little point in really arguing the topic, just because he was in the All-Star game and he just didn't play. But if he had announced that earlier and they had a reserve for him, Lou Williams is that reserve, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. That's part of it. Like, considering how many people Lou passed over Lou for when they had replacements on the West squad, I think it almost had to be Lou Williams.
Yeah. All right, that's what I was assuming, but I just wanted to run it past you. The other thing I wanted to talk about, jerseys. I really liked the All-Star jerseys. They're just clean, simple. I like the black and white. I really liked that they had the simple logo on the front for each of their teams, too, and the black and white was the defining which team you were on. I thought that Nike brand dropped a ball not having Christmas Day uniforms ready, so I liked that they were able to come back, and I thought the All-Star game uniforms were pretty cool.
So my one complaint with the uniforms, specifically about the Wolves uniform, this is just personal preference, but I would have cut out the Minnesota Timberwolves wording around the circle and just had the Wolf head on the jersey. Just because
you didn't like that?
I thought it was harder to pick out, and considering how clean and simple a lot of the other jerseys look, like the Rockets logo, right? You've got the R, and that's it. Or, like, the Cavs logo,
yeah. Where
you've got the big Cleveland C. Like, it seemed a little more detailed than a lot of other things, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but it didn't feel like it fit as well.
I kind of liked it. I thought it looked kind of like the Boston Celtics, where they had the Boston Celtics ring
around.
Yeah,
and Boston's the other one, where it's just, like, it's got a little bit more detail in it than a lot of the other jerseys that go in with this kind of, like, simple, clean aesthetic, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, so it's not, like, again, not necessarily a bad thing, and I thought they looked really good. I love the black and white look.
Yeah.
But it's just, like, maybe consider tweaking it to just the logos, like, for the Celtics and the Wolves and any other teams that had it. If you're going to do it, like, every team can recognize your logo, right?
Yeah.
Like, so just in that setting in particular, I think that would have been something to consider. But
they were probably worried.
No problems at all with them. They look good.
They were probably worried the casual fan would mistake it for the Coyotes logo. Is the thing you had to put Minnesota Timberwolves, otherwise you wouldn't be sure. Because there's no colors. I'm gonna hound that. Also, when you have just the black and white in the emblem, it really shows how terrible some of those logos are, like the Pelicans. Oh my gosh!
Yeah,
awful.
Yeah, but it's and then you just have the Brooklyn Nets sitting over here, like, yeah, black and white are cool colors, right? Great, great color scheme. Yeah.
Please buy our jerseys.
Which looks so good. They do. Like, I love the Nets jerseys.
Can you imagine buying like a Spencer Dinwiddie jersey for somebody's birthday though?
Spencer Dinwiddie, skills competition winner. I didn't bother to mention that before. He did win it.
They would be so disappointed and confused.
I know at least one person, Dane Moore, that wouldn't.
Dane Moore would also take an Aaron Brooks jersey over any other jersey in the NBA right now. So I don't know.
That's probably too. I'm also the person that said on Wolves Wire this week that I was thinking about buying a city edition to Manu Bielisa jersey. So, like, I can't throw too much shade.
Oh, I would, in a heartbeat, I would buy a city Marcus George's Hunt jersey. In a heartbeat.
I think the Timberwolves city jerseys look good. I know, like, that's not particularly all-star related. I love the gray jersey. They look great.
You have to promise me, can we just have a podcast where we talk about NBA jerseys for, like, 40 minutes?
Sure.
All right.
I will have to do a little more research. Well, I don't have that many takes, but it'll be fun.
I just have, like, 30 NBA jersey takes that I've had Stewie for the last 2 years in my head, and that's why
I'm going crazy. That'll be good content.
That's why I'm going crazy, just slowly and surely. All right, any other All-Star-related topics you wanted to touch on before we head out here? I think I hit everything I wanted to talk about.
LeBron was really good, and I thought that LeBron spoke really well about some of the issues that have been surrounding him this week before and after the game and when he was named MVP, which the fact that he hasn't been the All-Star Game MVP since 2008, but this was his third All-Star Game MVP, felt really strange to me. I guess it never just come up, but, like, that was interesting.
That is kind of an interesting tidbit that I think is a stat buried when you have so many big stats over All-Star games.
Yeah, just a weird little thing.
30 seconds on before we head out, 30 seconds on the Fox anchor really coming after Kevin Durant and LeBron James.
Yep.
I blindsided you with that one.
She wanted attention, and she's gotten it.
And
I think that the NBA side of things, whether it's been Michelle Roberts of the Players Association or LeBron or Kevin Durant or any of the players that have spoken to it, have handled themselves with class and dignity, which is all you can expect.
Hey, you know what? Shout out to the NBA for having a commissioner like Silver who's going to back up his players. It's not the NFL. The seal is not more important than the players. The NBA really cares and develops a bunch of different players on and off the court just as far as how they are presented and how they are really allowed to kind of support any stances that they have and have political leanings and stuff like that that aren't trying to be squashed. Adam Silver is going to back them up, and I like that about the NBA.
Yep, and it's a blessing to have when you look across the other major sports leagues at, like, Bettman's had his share of controversies, Rob Manfred's had his, like, questionable decisions since he came into the MLB leadership. But Adam Silver is, like, just feels like he hits home run after home run in how he deals with the NBA players. And he's, like, not that the NBA is a perfect sport, but Silver does the most that he can to ensure that the product that's put on the floor is the best that it can be and that the players are well supported to be who they are. Even if, like, there's argument about whether he did as much as he could when the discussion of players kneeling for the national anthem came up earlier this year, because, like, the NBA wasn't as flexible on that, and now that, like, movement, if you will, seems like it's kind of faded away. But, like, that's about the only thing, like, social coverage wise that I can see that may not have been one up to the point that it should be. But it's like, I don't know. I think Adam Silver does a great job with what
he's doing. A hell of a job.
I've been very impressed with him, and I'm glad to have him as a commissioner of the NBA.
Exactly, and that's a good note to end on. Thank you for joining us again on the Locked On Wolves, David, and thank you for the listeners for tuning into another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.